Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined as always by the legend Les Thatcher. Congratulations are in order for our resident legend this week, who is apparently still basking in the glory of his recent appointment as Sandals Tourism Coordinator off in Jamaica. Is that going to get you any new gigs or any new free trips?
I don't know. One of our listeners wrote a very detailed description of why it's such a good place to go for a wedding. His son is getting married there, and so he was happy to hear that, you know, that I was pleased and it was everything that they expected it to be. And of course it was. So I don't know, can we get into travel today? We may just branch out. We may I understand Vandy Trump may have outdrawn AEW Wednesday.
You're going to start watching that?
If they continue to do that, we could start critiquing that show, couldn't we?
Vanderpump Rules. I don't know if I could handle that. Then again, could it be much worse than some of the weeks we've seen of wrestling? Probably not.
It'll be a change. I don't know if it'd be better or worse, but it'd be a change. But yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, so we're branching out in some new areas of, and all because of professional wrestling. Isn't it amazing how all-encompassing professional wrestling can be?
The places you will go. In fact, a pretty nice trip for WWE this weekend to the home island, if you will, for yours truly, Puerto Rico, for Backlash. There's some interesting matches here, especially with the draft and what you're going to do with this new world championship and free agents and such. You want to start there with some predictions?
Yeah, why not? Let's see. You want to start at the bottom and work up, or the top and work down?
Bottom up.
Okay.
So that means we'll be beginning, based on the list I sent you, with Seth Rollins versus Omos. Listen, we've been talking for the last few weeks, especially since they unveiled that new World Heavyweight Championship, which is going to be crowned in a few weeks in Saudi Arabia for the Raw brand, about Seth Rollins being the ultimate company guy. And apparently they just keep finding ways to test his commitment. So they put him in there with Omos. Listen, Lesnar got something better than you probably expected out of Omos at WrestleMania. I don't know what Seth is going to be able to do with him, but I do know this. Seth is going to be winning this match.
He almost has to. But, you know, like I said to you before we started recording, my problem, and I say a problem, it's not a problem. If you own the company, it's never a problem, I guess. But almost, he's such a big guy, and he's come along. I mean, listen, he's not a great worker by a stretch of the imagination. But if you beat him again, all these guys are basically half his size are beating him, then what is his shelf life in the company? You know, or you could even throw that to Big Bill. What a hell of a great, what a terrific, intriguing name, Big Bill, who also gets beat by Orange Goldberg. So, I mean, you know, years ago, these big guys, well, I say these big guys, Haystack, Calhoun, Andre the Giant, people, Happy Humphrey, people like that, did not live in a terror, or, you know, they were not locked into the same show week after week. So they could, like in the Carolinas, Stax could come in for a couple weeks, Andre come in for a couple weeks, or even here in Knoxville, Andre could be in here for 7 to 9 days. Get a great run out of him, and then he disappears and comes back 6 months, 7 months or something. So he's fresh. But Seth has to win. I'm spending a lot of time on the opening match, but my problem is if I'm a booker and my boss has got almost under contract for an extended period of time, I've got to build him back up, or at some point I'm just going to be spinning my wheels with it. So anyway, moving on. A three-way for the U.S. title.
I think this is pretty intriguing now based on the draft and where people are headed. You've got Austin Theory as the United States heavyweight champion, Bobby Lashley, Bronson Reed. Lashley and Theory both heading to SmackDown with the Intercontinental Champion Gunther moving to Raw. That makes sense it would seem at least to eliminate Reed because there's no need for both of those titles on one show. So is it Theory retaining or Lashley winning? And now I'm thinking about what's over there on the other side with Cody now staying firmly, apparently, on Raw, even though he will be, as we record this, on SmackDown later tonight. if he's going to be a Raw guy moving forward, and looks like he's going to be, then Lashley is the logical, or at least one of them, next challenger for Roman. So there's no need for the U.S. title if he's going straight to Roman Reigns. So I earlier in the week, I was ready to take this belt off of Theory. Now I don't see a reason for him to lose it.
Well, what brand is Reed going to be on?
Reed staying on Raw.
Okay. And Theory is going to SmackDown.
Theory, right? And Lashley.
And Lashley. Okay. You know what? Then I wouldn't be against putting the strap on Reed. It would be a double cross on the fans. I don't think anybody expects it, because if you look at this, the way Theory's been pushed, mm-hmm. Lashley's physical appearance, if nothing else, throws him into the mix. And so Reed is kind of the weak sister in this three-way, or at least that would be the general consensus, I think.
It would be a shocking win and a nice way to put a little steam behind him. So, but what do you do now with two titles on the same show? Because that means you'd have the Intercontinental and the U.S. Championship.
Well, it could always move it at a later date, right?
True. I mean, you could do something in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But again, Reed is a fresh face up on the main rosters, meaning SmackDown or Raw, whichever one he's on. But I think he's somebody that can develop and help you draw some money, you know, strengthen your mid card at least, you know. So maybe give him a short title run with it. I don't know. So really, that match could go any way of the three, couldn't it?
You can make a good argument for all three. I'm going to stick with Theory. You're going to take Reed?
Yeah, I'll take Reed.
All right.
Why not? Gamble a little bit less. Yeah, it's not for money. If it were for money, I wouldn't bet anyway.
Well,
but yeah, I'll take Reed.
The Usos have found themselves in the soup with the Tribal Chief and the Wise Men in the last week or two with their failure to win the tag team titles on SmackDown last week, which, by the way, not only was it a good match, but I like that a lot, because I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people who were thinking the Usos were going to win this back, because Owens and Zayn, generally speaking, don't make trips to Saudi Arabia for any reason. The government chooses not to have Zayn there, and I believe Owens, in some semblance of solidarity and things of that nature, has not gone on many of these trips, if any, either. So it made sense that the Usos would win last week, but they didn't. Owens and Zayn retained the title, and if they don't win here with Solo by their side, this one could get really sticky for the Usos with the Tribal Chief.
I think that's the way I go, and the other reason for that is Riddle is just back from his isolation for whatever reason, a multitude of reasons from what I understand. But so I think the babyfaces need to get their hands raised here.
So now how do you do this, though? Do you do it in a way where Sokoa has his hands clean of what happens and the Usos just completely fail? Is it Sokoa who messes something up and then the Chief turns around and blames the Usos?
Well, apparently Sokoa is going to get, you know, a little bigger push because they're playing. I mean, he's not the size of Umaga, for Christ's sake, because I had Eddie in my camp. He's not as big as Eddie. But that's the way they're pushing him, you know, as a powerhouse. Riddle could steal it from one of the Usos.
That's what I'm thinking.
And yeah, I think that's the way I would go with this. Because they're in Puerto Rico, you're not going to do a lot of hot finishes, I don't think. And I think they have plenty of security. And I'm just going, of course, you know, from wrestling over there, I've mentioned it on this show before, you know, last thing you need to do is be a gringo, turn heel, and hurt somebody that your ass may not make it.
Yeah, not going
to
be
the airport.
Won't be any shocking turns on this show.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have plenty of security and all. Do you know that years ago that they actually used militia or the National Guard or whatever it was, carrying automatic weapons and security at some of the wrestling sites in Puerto Rico?
Yes, that was not uncommon in the Caribbean altogether.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember Pompeo Ferpo mentioning in southern Mexico, down in the wild, the jungles, as a young man wrestling at I don't remember the name of the town. Of course, it doesn't matter. But the entrance to the ring was enclosed completely in chicken wire and you know, with stanchions to support it and all. So the fans could not get to the wrestlers, and all the security people were army with automatic weapons. And he mentioned how nervous he was to wrestle in that environment, right? And I could understand that. Yeah, of course, and I'm looking at that, and I doubt seriously that this company's going to worry about, and I don't mean that in a facetious way, but worry about the physical well-being of one of their performers. But it, you know, it can get testy over there. I don't know. I think we got to put the baby faces over in the six man. Pretty sure we do.
So now we come to two women's title matches, which are interesting because when the draft movement is complete, the champions will each be switching brands. One of Vince McMahon's favorite things here, since it's very clear he is firmly in control again over the last few weeks. With this SmackDown women's title match, Rhea Ripley's headed to Raw, but she's currently the SmackDown champion, and she's defending against Zelina Vega. You and I are pretty much in agreement, and I'm sure we both pick Rhea Ripley to retain here. But it's interesting on one hand because despite the size difference, you've got Zelina in her hometown, so there's a way to craft a story there if you wanted to. And we know Vince, of all the things he has tossed aside in terms of tradition of the days of the territories, the one thing for whatever reason he won't throw away, and I wish he would, is beating people on their way off of one brand to another. So you could make an argument here that Zelina steals one in Puerto Rico, but obviously, I would not short-circuit Rhea Ripley at this point under any circumstances. And then you get to the other Vince thing, where it's maybe the kiss of death that Zelina got this match in her hometown, so to speak, on the island, because that just means Vince is going to enjoy figuring out how to beat her badly in this thing.
Yeah, you're right. Those are precedents that have been established over the years, are they not?
They certainly are.
But like I said, it doesn't, unlike you, Ripley doesn't need to drop that belt now for any reason. Vega's a cute little young lady, but the size difference just doesn't bode well. I wouldn't make the change, regardless of where Ripley's going.
With that in mind, we're now looking at the Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair versus Io Sky. For WWE fans, they may see Sky winning as a massive upset. Anybody who's followed women's wrestling for any length of time knows that it would not be an upset in the least if you're familiar with Sky's work prior to WWE. However, again, here we're in this situation, and I was not thinking about this until you started talking about Bronson Reed. If you're looking for a way to light a fire under somebody with Bianca changing brands, Sky would be an interesting choice here. But again, I don't see that happening. Bianca's had a nice run, and I think they probably want the moment just to plant a seed on TV this week of Belair and Ripley doing that belt exchange, which presumably will go a lot better than Becky and Charlotte did last year or the year before. And just have people thinking about those two eventually locking up one day.
Yes, I think so. They both need some seasons. You know, Belair's come a long way, and Ripley has too. But yeah, I think both champions retain here. I don't know. With Sky, she just barely got her boots laced back up.
That's true.
So, and there's no been real push for her anyway. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Belair to retain the title.
Top two matches on the night, Damian Priest versus Bad Bunny in a street fight. I mean, I don't think I can overstate to non-music fans what a coup it continues to be for WWE to have a star of his magnitude on this show and passionate about it. You're going to get his best effort no matter whether he's any good at this or not. You know it's not going to be for lack of trying from this guy, particularly in Puerto Rico. Then you have the street fight thing. And before we get to the predictions, I mentioned this last week. Talk to me about how you take a guy who's only had a couple of matches and you walk him through something that's obviously going to be a spectacle and is going to be expected to take up some time if you're Damian Priest. The street fight aspect, I'm guessing, makes it a little easier, But how do you take a guy with as little experience as Bad Bunny and walk him through something that's going to be, you know, one of the top tier matches on a big event like this?
I'm going to guess they've already walked through it a couple of times.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, you're talking through it. That's, which is becoming a lost art, but I'm sure Priest is capable of that. And with the street fight thing, you're right. That makes it simpler than if this was if they were trying to have a technical wrestling match, you know, with great takedowns and switches and everything, because you know, Bunny can swing a chair. Well, I take that back. I don't want him to swing a chair. I like Damian Priest, although maybe he's learned. You know, he's been around the business a while, and he's certainly his first appearance in a actual match wasn't bad at all. I don't know. I think Bunny gets his hand raised here. Priest obviously talks him, leads his thing, but I think we won't see the type of things in a street fight that we would see if it were two, you know, seasoned wrestling veterans. But I think it'll be good. But what do you say? Bunny's passionate about this, and he is home, so he doesn't want to screw up either.
No.
You know, for him to look inadequate would be worse than him actually getting beat. But I think he gets his hand held up here. But I think it's like on a DQ. Well, I don't know if you can DQ anybody in a street fight, but it's got to be some fluke. I mean, we can't have him just beat Priest outright, or at least I wouldn't. But I'd have him get his hand held up in some manner.
What I'm thinking is, maybe, even though Zelina Vega is the only member of the LWO on the card, expect this thing to break down after plenty of plunder between Judgment Day, Rey Mysterio, quite possibly, and the LWO. And somehow something in that melee distracts Priest long enough for Bunny to figure something out.
And speaking of who could save Bunny, how about Edge?
Well, you know what? That's a good point.
Or, you know what, here's something else too. Priest comes, he comes to the ring first, and Finn comes with him. Or Mysterio, it don't matter. You know, one or the other. So, Bunny comes out and I was told to expect you to pull a stunt like this. So, you know what, I've got backup too, and here comes Edge.
I like it.
You know, that's a possibility.
But we're basically in agreement that this is going to be Bad Bunny's night.
Yeah, he gets his hand right.
I'm really intrigued by this main event. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the day after, the Raw after WrestleMania, that I was necessarily super fired up about it. But I did realize that it was going to be something really intriguing when we got around to it. And that's Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. Cody drafted to Raw, so at least for now, it looks like the push to finish the story with the traditional WWE Championship is put on hold. Lesnar's a free agent, and we have no idea what his plans are next. It could be staying on the beach in Puerto Rico or someplace else for a while, which could impact which direction you go here. Rhodes on the brand now permanently with this draft, and he's got to be a top contender for that championship, but there's all sorts of other questions about it, Les. I mean, do you want Cody Rhodes to win that title in a few weeks after he failed against Roman Reigns? Does it make this title look secondary, which is obviously not what they want? And what happens with Lesnar? Maybe Lesnar injures Rhodes here at some point to play into Rhodes not winning that title, or maybe not even being in the tournament in Saudi Arabia in a few weeks. Because there are different ways
you could do this. That, sure.
Yeah.
You could do that. And you know what? Brock could... I'll use the old expression, slip on a banana peel, and Cody could still get his hand held up.
And still get put out.
He's got almost got to go to that tournament. He's got it. I don't know. You think he wins that tournament in Saudi?
See, that's the thing. I think that's just tough. I mean, it's going to be too easy, whether it's fair or not, to look at him when he wins that one, if he wins it, and think, yeah, but he didn't win the big one when it counted the previous month.
Right.
It's a tough spot.
But then again, and we're going to talk about this in detail in a little while too, but, you know, his, uh, the, the promo he did this week sort of leads you to believe there's going to be more hurdles before he finally, roadblocks, we call them whatever you like, until he gets to that Roman versus Cody spot once again.
Yeah, he's not giving up on
it. No. And you know what? I think history would prove that most baby faces that have this kind of the kind of backing he has at this point, when they finally get their hand raised, let's look at somebody who didn't start as high up or as hot with the audience as Cody has started, and that would be Sammy. How long did it take Sammy to get to where he's at?
He did. That's true. It took
him
quite a while.
And they made him to look a lot sillier than Cody has looked at up to this point several times, did they not?
They did indeed.
And he was made to look like a buffoon, but the buffoon turned into a wrestling machine that ended up with titles. So if it's done properly, and again, that's, Michael Hayes is got a hell of a head for finishes. He always has. Brian James, Road Dogg, has as well. There are guys there. And if, God love him, if Triple H has got any say-so still, he's more about, old school heels being old school heels. So, I don't know. I think Cody's got to win here, but here now, I mentioned a DQ with Bad Bunny, but that they could throw that one out just as easily and get Cody's hand raised with a DQ. Without just butchering him, that wouldn't be the case.
But if you do that, is that a way to keep him out of the tournament? In other words, get this one thrown out here and make it second from the top so you close with Priest and Bad Bunny. That way the people leave feeling pretty good. And you bring this match back, Rhodes and Lesnar in Saudi Arabia.
Could do that. Yes, that would work. That would work. Have they announced the whole tournament in Saudi?
I'm not sure they've announced a single solitary match, but I'll go look for it.
I don't think, I'm going to say I didn't think they had. So there's a million possibilities in that respect. But yeah, Cody, he could get waylaid here I don't think an injury at this point is would be good, simply because of the legitimate injury that put him down so long before, right? I think that card was played not intentionally, but realistically, and it cost him some time. But he could get beat here. Well, what if Heyman helped Lesnar win this just to keep Cody away from Roman?
Well, it adds another layer of intrigue to the bloodline, because he'll have to answer for that on SmackDown.
Sure he would. But when he tells his exalted leader that he did it to keep Cody at bay, then Roman will look and nod his head, smile a little bit, and say, "Wise man, I see the benefit of your counsel."
There are a lot of different ways you can really do this. That's what makes it great. Really, yeah.
And that makes it worth watching.
Definitely, yeah. It's
because you don't know.
Yeah, I admit, I think we said it at the time. I was lukewarm to the idea just because I think a lot of people were deflated when Cody lost at Mania, but by the time we got around to it, it would be intriguing, and damned if it isn't. Without knowing exactly what they're going to be doing, or without there being a neon sign in the air, I'm going to say that I'm with you. They have to figure out how to get Rhodes' hand raised here. So barring anything unforeseen or bringing that match back in a few weeks, I'm going with Cody Rhodes.
Works for me, brother.
Well, let's take this opportunity as we prepare to switch gears and talk a little bit about AEW, some new hires, this week's TV, and the phenomenal success, any way you slice it, that this Wembley Stadium show is going to be at the box office. Because as we record this, tickets only went on sale to the general public in the last few hours. And before that even happened, they had half the building sold, which is an incredible accomplishment, first time in or not. But while we get ready to talk about all that, let's talk about some T-shirts and DVDs.
Talk about T-shirts and DVDs. All right, let's do that. Yeah, if you would like to be a part the fan base that actually owns one of the first ever pro wrestling t-shirts on the market. You can go to Pro Wrestling Tees and pick up a Briscoe Booster Tee, which was the very first pro wrestling t-shirt ever put out, 1972, by Jack and Jerry Briscoe and myself, artwork by Jerry the King Lawler. And like I say, you can pick that up at Pro Wrestling Tees. And by the way, I know we're going to have some of those tees in Waterloo in July at the Hall of Fame as well. Wrestling from the Heartland, the Lost Developmental Tapes, Volumes 1 and 2, and now Volume 3 is out. And all these are on Premier Streaming. Or if they're not, they will be. The Pillmans are on Premier Streaming as well. But with the Volumes 1 and 2 and 3, they're all two DVD sets, over 6 hours of content with interviews, matches, and extras. Joe Dombrowski and I do the voiceover. You can get the, pick them up at joe-dombrowski.com or prowrestlinglibrary.com. And I mentioned Pillman, the Brian Pillman Show's anthology, the 20th anniversary, four DVD set, over 15 hours of content. All four of those great shows from 98, 99, 2000, 2001, matches, interviews, awards, and so many extras. And you can get that at PillmanShows.com or the two addresses I mentioned earlier, Joe-Dombrowski or ProWrestlingLibrary.com. And also at PillmanShows.com, he has got some of the very last of the Pillman Memorial t-shirts. These are originals. These are not copies or rip-offs or anything. And these are original from that show in 99. And he's got a few of the programs, which are also in first-class shape for sale. I've signed those. And you can get those at filmandshows.com as well.
Well, as we prepare to get started with the incredible success AEW is already experiencing with their Wembley Stadium show, I should also mention that Big Brother is always watching, and by that I mean the Big Brother that resides in Stamford, Connecticut. It cannot be a coincidence, Les, that this week, after those first phenomenal pre-sale tickets were announced for AEW, that WWE is now advertising Roman Reigns for London in July at Money in the Bank.
All right. Hey, well, you know, a little consultation never hurt anybody.
That's exactly where I was going. Nothing wrong with that. If it makes you up your game and do some different things, more power to everybody. Good. Glad to see it.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, it's I've had some people say, you want to see AEW fail? I don't want to see anybody fail. And some of the guys that I've trained, some of my dear friends are in AEW. So, no, I don't want to see them fail. I speak the truth when I give my opinion. But that doesn't mean that I want to see the company go belly up, which I really don't. Yeah, it's great. They're at over 5 million, almost 6, 7 million by now, I guess, because they're at 50,000 as of this yesterday?
Yeah, they're up over 50,000 before the general on sale. So they've got to be up over 6 million before they even sold a ticket to the general public, which is an incredible feat.
Yeah. And, of course, realize it's their first time there. And so, yes, they are going to draw. And, you know, it's I'm happy for them. I would hate to see them make that trip and end up with they're not going to end up with an empty house, but end up, you know, with it falling flat. And that's obviously not going to be the case. So their tour, are they doing any more shows other than this, that one?
At this moment, I don't believe so, but you never know. I think what's actually happened is once they announced that date, a bunch of English independent promotions, much like WrestleMania weekend, have scheduled shows around it. So they may actually be kind of stuck in that regard.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what? If it helps the independent economy over there, that's great. That's good as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Happy for them. I know Nigel's gonna be doing his magic show and wrestling remembrance show in London as well, coming up in I think it's the end of this month.
Oh, is he? I did not know that.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, it got over so well over Mania week Southern California. So yeah, I'm happy for him. And if you happen to be listening to us and you're going to be in London for this, check out Nigel's show as well, his magic show. And he's glib, he's entertaining, and he's a hell of a guy. So hang out there as well. But yeah, I'm glad to see AEW's not making the trip for nothing.
No.
And I'm wondering what they'll end up with, actually, in terms of a complete audience.
Well, I'd say now they're on par, or on course, I should say, to outdraw Clash at the Castle, which WWE had earlier this year. Remember Reigns and McIntyre in an enormous building where they did tremendous business. But I think AEW's in good position to pass that number probably this weekend, believe it or not.
Yeah, in a bigger building.
Also true.
With a bigger population to pull from as well. But yeah. But Europe, for both, once this show is taking place, just look at the last, 12 months in Europe for major professional wrestling companies in the United States will be a hell of a success, will it not?
It would be an incredible success, for sure. It's been a very lucrative market. Well, it's one of the reasons WWE is going back there in July for Money in the Bank.
Sure, sure.
So that's a tremendous success for AEW this week. This week's Dynamite, however, a little less so. Perhaps they should book Lisa Vanderpump.
Maybe they should. And her dogs.
Yes, get them all there.
Yes, they could do a little dog. There do a lot of dog and pony shows as it is.
I knew that was coming.
Well, you know me, sarcastic old son of a bitch that I am. What can I say? I honestly don't know if Dave was just being humorous when he mentioned Vanderpump as having drawn better than usual in this cost. That's why when I, at the first show, when I said, Vanderpump is pulling, good numbers every week like this, we'll start critiquing her show. And, it may be more entertaining, and it'll be different, that's for sure. But yeah, they did not do well on Wednesday. And we can talk basketball, we can talk hockey, or we can talk Vanderpump. But let's talk product, wrestling product. And I said before the show as the show was starting Wednesday night to my friend Jim, and I said it to you before we ever started recording here today as well. I didn't expect, well, actually, I sent you an email earlier this morning saying I'd be curious about those numbers because they had several multi-man matches with very little teeth to them, meaning I didn't see the power, drawing power in all these multi-man matches, which they proved me right. But then their main event, which was Sammy and MJF against Jungle Boy and Darby. I think we all knew where that was going before it went.
That's part of the problem this week, too, with that number.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you knew it was going to be a four-way for the title. Sammy and MJF are going to have a falling out. I mean, it's a scenario I've used. We've seen it over and over, but I mean, here's one of the, and I think here comes back down to never mind Vanderpump again, because I find it to be a humorous reference, nothing serious, because I think AEW's numbers have fallen slowly. There is competition, but you pretty much know what's going to happen. Because there is no intrigue. And why have we been singing the praises of the Bloodline stories and what we just finished talking about? We're talking about main events in Puerto Rico that we're hard-pressed to make a pick because they could go so many ways. And with AEW, for the most of the time, they can't go so many ways. They could, but it's pretty obvious where, you know, the way the matches are being built. I mean, you had that 8-man tag that opened the show Monday night or Wednesday night, which had very little teeth. It was a little angle worked the week before to start this off. Then they had this Cinco de Hooter trios thingamy with 10,000 guys in it. And then they had, you know, they had several multi-man deals, and none of them are really a big, strong build up to. And like I say, the main event, which wasn't all that bad until they started trying to make Jungle Boy into Superman, double clotheslining guys and then standing there beating his chest. And I thought, okay. Now, that young man, the fans love him, and that's great. But he is flat because he doesn't have that fire, that personality. His promos are average at best, because again, there's no fire, no personality, no. He just repeats them. But his work is, and watching him make this huge comeback on Sammy and MJF, and then all the silly dives. I could live without that crap. Three dives on each, both on different sides, and he just ran like crazy, man. And somebody's going to explain to me where that all went. It went nowhere. And it wasn't necessary. And I think the only person who was excited about that was A.R. Fox, because he didn't get to do it, and he's the dive master.
Oh, he's jealous.
But he probably is. The Jungle Boy's stealing my gimmick. No, it was the show was, it was okay, but it wasn't great. And their number, the final number, averaged out at 77 something.
770, 760 something. Hold on, let me go back and double check that. But yeah, it was in the sevens. 776 was the number.
And again, and everybody can say, well, you're old and you're feeble and you don't know what you're talking about. And I'll say, okay, fine. But here's my thought on this is you do 10,000 gimmick match, stipulation matches with no reason, rhyme or reason all the time. You're throwing everything but the kitchen sink out there every week. Run in every match, interference almost in every promo. And it's, we've seen it. And especially when there is no major story or foundation to what you're trying to tell us or want us to watch. And I think that's where the problem comes in. So, I mean, yes, there were hockey playoffs, there were basketball playoffs, and speaking of the basketball playoffs, I'm hoping that LeBron and those guys can get by the Warriors, and my Celtics can end up putting Philadelphia down, and maybe it'll end up being both those teams in the finals. I'd love that, because then I wouldn't cheer for anybody. Just flip a coin, let somebody win. But anyway, back to wrestling. Would you be in a disagreement that they're pretty much just throw everything out there so often that it's not, I mean, what that main event Wednesday night should have been, what was the draw? That should have done the job, because this is, you're calling these the four pillars. These four guys are the big foundation of this country, or this country. Yeah, let's spit it out, of this company. And if that's the case, you got four weak pillars. And in terms of a heavyweight, I mentioned to Jim while we were watching it here, the only guy even close to being a heavyweight at that foursome is MJF. So, no. It's again, every booker, I don't care good, bad, or indifferent, has good and bad ideas. But some of these, again, there are people in that company that I know have quick, agile minds about things like this, and obviously they're not being consulted or used or whatever, which is a shame.
Well, I want to bring up who is apparently now being consulted in just a second. But before I get to that, just out of curiosity, I started looking up the ratings here for Vanderpump Rules. I'm not saying this to be funny, Les, but I want to know who's booking the show, because I'm looking at the numbers for this season, and they were sort of just chugging along, much the way AEW has been when their season started in February and in March, 839, 738, a couple of mid-sixes in there, 879. They hit another gear March 15th. Dave was completely serious when he said Vanderpump Rules was a consideration. Since March 15th, Les, that show has not done less than a million. And they did 1.4 million this past Wednesday.
Wow, is Hugh stripping on this show?
I have no idea what's going on.
I can't think of. I have seen men, you know, like I'll be changing channels and I'll stop on that and watch it for 5 or 6 or 10 minutes or something. And this is not my cup of tea. I'm sorry, but wow, that's scary. I mean, it really is.
Seriously, they've not done less than a million since March 15th.
Wow. Well, then Dave wasn't ribbit.
Well, listen, if Tony's going outside the company to hire somebody, he should be hiring their writers.
Yeah, right. There you go. I want to say, I know you're going to get to the new hire.
Yes.
But I want to say this, too, about Tony's little rant, public rant, about Nick Khan and the podcast, the guy from ESPN who mentioned the difference in size of arenas and so forth and so on. Let me say this. Tony Khan, your rant publicly on social media was really, I think, beneath you, or it was not cool. It really wasn't. I mean, those are things you say for your executive vice presidents when you're screaming obscenities about all these people who are trying to overthrow you or lie about you or whatever. But yeah, that wasn't a good idea for public consumption. It truly wasn't.
I'd heard that this happened, but I didn't see what happened, so I'm looking at it now. Apparently, an ESPN reporter, Mike Coppinger, if you need to get caught up as well, took to Twitter to say, quote, hearing Wembley is scaled for only 40,000 for AEW, which obviously now is not true. Far cry from last April when I was ringside for Tyson Fury, Dillon White, packed to the brim with 94,000. Nothing beats the big fight feel at Wembley, to which Tony responded, lies! What a load of crap. Tell your agent, Nick Khan, to shove it up his ass. Is Nick Khan actually still representing anybody anymore? He might have been his agent at one time, but I'm pretty sure he's ditched all that.
Well, that's as childish as you can get publicly, I think.
Well, he wasn't done. He went after him a little bit more, basically just talking about how you're supposed to be some credible reporter and you work at ESPN, the so-called worldwide leader. So who is your source? And how can a reporter representing ESPN tweet something about a legit news story that's so blatantly wrong and easily verified as a falsehood? Well, you know, these claims may be valid, but out here in the public square is not the place to litigate them.
They are not. You're absolutely right. And that's my point exactly. There are things that, listen, I can out Jim Cornette sometimes if I wanted to, and I usually don't want to because I'd like to maintain just a bit of dignity. And I would suggest Tony Khan does the same thing, you know, because it's not beneficial to him or his company at all. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not knocking the guy. If I were his uncle or his father or something, I would say this the same thing to him. It wasn't a good idea, and I would not do it again. You know, it just it's not good business.
You know, if I'm Tony, maybe I would have held off saying anything. And then when we got to, say, 75,000, fingers crossed, for this Wembley Stadium show, I might have just tweeted at the guy with a video of myself and Jeff Jarrett doing the Fargo strut outside the box office.
I like it. And that would have been a private kick in the butt, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, something like that.
I like that.
Well, he may have one more person in his ear trying to keep him off the Twitter machine this week, since Tony also announced on Twitter that former wrestling podcast host Will Washington has signed with AEW in what is a very interesting title and appears to have quite broad responsibilities. I would love to hear a little more detailed breakdown of this because I have a lot of thoughts and questions, but I don't want to say too much without really knowing just how much Will is going to be doing in these areas. I'll quote Tony here. Says Mr. Washington is the new AEW Wrestling Administration Coordinator, working in many areas like live events, social media, creative, PR, And so that's obviously quite a wide umbrella, a big net that's being cast there for Mr. Washington and his responsibilities. So how deep in any of these areas is he? Because obviously the one that your eyes and my eyes gravitated towards was creative. And I'm sitting here thinking, all the people on the payroll whose advice you're already not taking, and you brought someone in who's going to have some advice that's going to give you, who's never done this before?
And I was going to say, and took his first bump when?
That's the point.
Never. And
which doesn't mean he doesn't have great ideas. I'm just saying, with the people already there to you, I'll say it like this. I was telling a friend about this week. I don't begrudge Will this at all. I hope he's fantastic at it and he hits home runs in every area. And he may be great at all of it. If I was being put into that position and creative was among my responsibilities, I would really want to know first, how many people in the locker room did you offer this to or on the payroll? And did they all turn it down? Because the last thing I want is to have to be in front of anybody there, especially some of the producers slash coaches, I guess they call them now, explaining something in creative, like thinking they're looking at me like, wait a minute, why do I not have your job?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And let me say this, it's going to happen. It's not whether it should or shouldn't, it's going to happen. you bring an executive into a baseball franchise who has never played ball, never managed ball, never been involved, but he's an expert. You think all those baseball players aren't going to look him out of the corner of their eye and say, I'm waiting for you to screw this up.
Yeah, it's a long road for somebody like that to get over with everybody and have them their ideas and their insight respected.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm like, I don't know this guy. I don't listen to his podcast. But until somebody comes to me and that whose opinion I respect and say, you know, I've worked with this guy and he's pretty sharp, I'll say, okay, then I'll, you know, take the edge off of my skepticism then. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I've been doing this too long, and I know people on this website are going to say, oh, he's talking about me, and I probably am. But I'm talking about anybody who's – you can have an idea, but if you haven't been in the thick of it, you're right. And you know what? You have never taken a – well – Miss CeCe's knocked you around a bit.
I know you're often, yes.
But, you know, and you hit on some good ideas. And then some, you know, but still.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call WWE and say, hey, my friend Victor has some great ideas. Why don't you put him on creative? Because then you'll be out of your depth. You would be over your, and you know what? In the same situation, because I've never booked anything that large, I would be out of mind. But yeah, this guy has got his work cut out for him. And part of that work is being able to convince wrestlers that he actually knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and which doesn't mean he can't do it or doesn't mean he's not capable of excelling in all these areas. I just think that it's a difficult position for someone to be put in. And look, if you're Will and doing something in the business you've always loved has been a lifelong dream, and you get a chance to take a step from podcasting into the actual nuts and bolts of a business, it's tough to say no to that. It's not like I begrudge him. I just think he's walking into a place where there's going to be a lot of hurdles he's going to have to overcome because he's never actually been in the business before.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's a fraternity.
Yes.
And you'll have to earn the right to be there. You will. I don't care. It's not because of me. It's because of the fraternity itself.
So we're looking here at some of the other things that have happened in AEW this week. Actually, you know what? Let me turn back to the ratings real quick. I was going to mention, and I guess I will now since I started down this road, AEW Dark and Dark Elevation are going to be discontinued because of the new deal with, or the impending deal with Warner Brothers Discovery on Collision, which is going to be debuting in June, apparently. And obviously, it's understandable that Warner Brothers Discovery would not want any other AEW stuff anyplace else that's not under their auspices. So makes complete and total sense. Ring of Honor is a different deal because they have their own platform with subscribers on the website and what have you, and their own site for that matter. So that's apparently not an issue for their partners at Warner Brothers, which I completely understand. But when we're talking about the ratings and how flat essentially this show was, because we basically knew what was going to happen in the most important things, or at least the things they're pushing the most this past week. Do you think that has an effect on next week? Because clearly they're banking on some big numbers with Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley in a steel cage match. And how much has Moxley's penchant for blood over the last couple of months, maybe, well, pun intended, colored the way people are excited about this match? Does it matter?
Well, that could be too. You know, I've said, you know, I'm not against blood. You know that. But I'm against blood just for the sake of blood. And they've gone that route, and whether that affect them negatively, we'll see. You know, this should be a match that everyone should be excited to see. But then, has there been a real buildup between these two guys?
Well, clearly the factions, yes, and these two have history, but we've gone from a bunch of run-ins with toolboxes to a steel cage match without a tag match or any other kind of face-off, really.
Right. And of course, as we've talked about here ad nauseum, steel cage matches should be the final of a feud, not the beginning or the middle or any place else for that matter. And Orange Goldberg defends the AEW International title against Daniel Garcia. So he's beat guys six times his size. I guess he's got a I don't expect Garcia to take the strap from him here.
Clearly, he's got no chance.
He's on a roll anyway. That's
right. What, 21 in a row now for Orange?
Absolutely not.
So, yeah. By the way,
and we'll hear from FTR.
Yes.
How about giving FTR just a damn win over some team that can actually go with him? That'd be a clever idea.
Well, I mean, I expect that Lethal and Jarrett will have a fun match with them when it happens, but I'm not really thrilled about the way they're going about this.
I'm not either. And, you know, we might as well talk a little bit about tonight.
Okay.
Rampage is on its regular time tonight, I think.
Let me double check. I'm not sure that that's the case, to be honest with you.
And of course, they have a multi-man tag match, thank God. Matt and Jeff Hardy and Isaiah Cassidy and Hook take on Ethan Page, Big Bill, Moriarty, Stokely, at Stokely Hathaway, in the Firm Deletion.
Yes, one of your favorite styles of matches, clearly a cinematic classic in the annals of cinematic matches. By the way, it is another special start time today, 6:30 Eastern time on Friday for Rampage.
All right, I'll have to get in there and get recorded. Mark Briscoe against Preston Vance. Who's Preston Vance?
10.
Oh, right, okay, right. That's right. Damn, Cody Vance. I keep.
Yes.
He wrestled as Cody Vance when he was in up at Monster Factory. And so I see the Vance, but I don't see Cody, and that's why. Okay, that should be a decent match. Vance is a decent worker. And of course, Mark is Mark. Cargill in action. Okay, we can pass that and talk about the Lucha Brothers and the Vikingo versus QTV.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, a lot of people, somebody said to me, oh, QT Marshall, listen, QT Marshall's a hell of a worker. I've trained guys with him. He has trained with me. The guy's a hell of a hand. He's a solid worker. He really is. Whether he's a heel or a babyface, QT's a solid guy, solid worker. But I don't know. That might be a decent match, but again, there's nothing on here that's, I can't afford to miss this.
No, especially when you consider the fact that it's on a separate time and you got to go hunting for it.
Yeah, right. And you've got a lot of warm bodies, you know, and of course you've got these 8-man tags and 6-man tags. And at some point they're not special anymore, Tony Khan. I'm sorry.
No.
And that's not, that's just human. That's just human nature. That's not me. So there you have it. I don't know.
So
I hope they pull their numbers back, but I think they're going to have to make some changes in the way they, program their guys.
Completely agree. Speaking of which, by the way, actually, this is a great way to end this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. One of the lead stories in the Observer, and perhaps by the time you get up on the front page now, you'll see it parsed out, I should say, as a separate story on the list of news items for today. Now that we're getting closer and closer to the debut of AEW Collision, still reportedly, because they haven't made an official announcement yet, more details are being discussed as it relates to CM Punk's return, Les. And apparently the way it's looking right now is that there's less of a hard roster split idea here between the two shows. Punk will appear on Dynamite when needed, but those, quote, with unresolved issues with Punk will be on Collision the week he's on Dynamite. The idea is to get people to resolve these issues, but that hasn't happened yet, nor has there been any notable progress. Well, listen, that makes sense. You should have your biggest name and the guy who's done the best segments on as many shows as possible to maximize that and not have him pigeonholed on a Saturday. If he needs to be there Wednesday, he needs to be there Wednesday. I still find it kind of funny
that
the
idea... What you really need to do is, excuse me,
no, go right ahead.
But you really need to sit down with your entire roster and say, look, I actually pay you people.
Yes.
This is a business, and we're all supposed to be professional here. I am not saying, who's your best friend? I want to book you on the same show he's on, and who don't you like, so I don't want them on your show. I'll put you where the hell I want you because I'm paying you. And you'll work with who I need you to work with to draw money. That's, you know, this is grade school type stuff. It is. I'm sorry. I know they're trying to keep harmony and peace. How about just everybody getting, you know, sit the whole bunch of these guys down together and say, look, let's iron this out. You're all making, I'm guessing nobody in this group is making less than $750,000 a year and probably a lot more. If you can't grow up and resolve this bullshit, on that kind of money, then we need to do away with your contract and let you go where you'll be happy.
Yeah, see, to me, that is the thing. That's the conversation. It's, listen, guys, I realize that I do and will always feel a bit indebted to you because this thing probably would not exist without you. At the end of the day, I recognize how critical you were to creating this business for me and my family. But at the end of the day, this still is a business. And if we can't do business the way business needs to be done, then I'm going to make it my business to enjoy watching you on Monday and Friday.
You know, I mean,
it's that simple.
There is too much financially at stake, too much at stake with contracts with television networks to be worrying about, I don't like him. He bit me or something. I mean, come on. You know, baseball players fight in the locker room, football players. How many you hear spring practice with or summer practice with the pros? And you ever watch, what is it on HBO?
Hard Knocks. It's in every practice in the summer. Come on.
These guys get pulled apart, throwing punches at each other, and they're back drinking beer with each other the next night. Come on, people. Jesus. If all of you love Tony Khan and love AEW so much, then you'll resolve this crap and make your company work as a well-oiled unit. That's the bottom line. Because I said so, not because anybody else said so.
Particularly but, with this new show and this potential incredible new stream of revenue, this company is reaching a new level financially. And it's just malpractice for you not to be on board here at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The company's growing. You got this thing going on in London. Will they have separate locker rooms for you guys in London because you all can't be in the same room at the same time? I mean, this is crazy. Let's all be growing ups and get this together and go out there and make it work.
Speaking of which, we are in our first full weekend of May. Memorial Day weekend is just a few weeks away, the unofficial start of summer. I'm sure Les would love to take his talents to your wrestling camp for the weekend, your wrestling school, especially in this nice warm weather. Transportation should be easy and seamless, fingers crossed. And so then there should be no shortage of bookings for Mr. Thatcher this summer.
My gosh, I'd love to have some bookings. I made a joke out of it, but seriously, I love working with young talent. I love teaching. And if you'd be interested in me doing a one-day seminar, a weekend training camp with you, you can reach me, lesthatcher28@gmail.com. Be more than happy to send you out the information. that you know the cost, what I do, or and how I hope I can benefit you and your company. So get in touch with me. Again, lesthatcher28@gmail.com.
All right, my friend. Looks like after three or four straight days of rain here in the New York City area, the sun is actually out. So let's see if I can take advantage of that.
You sent it down to us, the rain. It's supposed to start the evening here and rain off and on for the next 4 or 5 days.
Well, you know what friends say. Better you than me.
Yeah, right. I know. I'm glad I can give you a sunny weekend while I sit and with my nose pressed against the window pane and watch the rain. Okay.
Your friendship is always appreciated.
I knew it would be.
Wrap up this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. He's the legend, Les Thatcher. My name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy weekend to spend some of it with us. We will talk to you again next week. You should never have your nose pressed to the glass on a rainy weekend. You should just call your friends at the tourism department in Jamaica. They'll take it down there.